This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Mike Pesca. Ira Flatow is away. If you want to know the weather in Bora Bora, the Netflix availability of Tora Tora Tora, or the origins of Dora the Explorer, you Google it. The giant search engine turned everyday verb has taken over the internet, and it hasn't seen a worthy challenger yet. But try this. Google this phrase, shortest vice president. You'll get a lot of hits that tell you that the VP who served for the shortest or the fewest number of days. You may get many links that contain a Dick Cheney quote containing the word shortest, but no actual information on who was the shortest vice president. This week, a new search engine is making its debut. Enter Wolfram Alpha. It might not be a Google killer, but it could be a powerful new tool for people searching the web with answers already in mind. If you have a question about this, I don't know if we'll be able to Wolfram Alpha it, but we could talk to our guest, and so you could give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet us your questions by typing the @ followed by @SciFry. And if you want more information about what we're talking about this hour, go to our website at sciencefriday.com. Links to this topic and all the other ones. Here to talk about Wolfram Alpha is Danny Sullivan, the editor-in-chief of Search Engine Land in Newport Beach, California. Hello, Danny.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. So tell me, Wolfram Alpha, I guess the question everyone wants to know is, why is it going to be better than Google?
Well, it won't be better than Google. Complementary to Google is probably the better way to describe it. As you described in your intro, when you do searches on Wolfram Alpha, rather than the typical Google response of giving you a bunch of links and you click on those links and then you go see if those pages have the answers to you, Wolfram Alpha is actually trying to provide the answers out there for you and give you statistics, all that you need to know that you don't have to go hunting for it. So to go back with the vice president theme, I typed in vice president and it comes up and it tells me the result is Joe Biden, when he started, and the past few sequences of vice presidents that we've had over time, Al Gore, Richard Cheney, Joe Biden, listed and like that. And with Google, if you did that sort of search on vice president, you'll have to click around and see what kind of answers come up.
So remind us of what's the underlying principle of Google and why that principle is different from what's guiding Wolfram Alpha.
Well, Google operates as if they are making a big giant book of the web. You can think of them as almost like a collection of pages that are billions and billions wide in this book. And when you do a search on Google, it sort of operates like a card catalog, you know, that they used to work. It tries to find the pages that have the words that you searched for, the concepts that you searched for, and then it makes the best guess at the ones that it thinks are most relevant to what you searched for. With Wolfram Alpha, it's more like you're searching through a specific almanac or a database, so that when you do a search, it comes back, and rather than point you to particular pages, it'll actually show you almost like a page from an almanac, show you a bunch of facts that are out there. So the advantage with Wolfram Alpha is when it gets it right, it's showing you the answers and you're not having to hunt around for them. But when it gets it wrong, Google's advantage is that, you know, we don't know exactly what you wanted when you searched for vice president. So maybe you did want to go off to some of these websites, and maybe Google's interpretation of giving you 10 different results might be better than one single answer.
For Wolfram Alpha to give you the right answer or to attempt to, it has to have a lot of raw data loaded into it. So have there been people just texting in every phone book and every almanac known to man into whatever Wolfram Alpha is going to use as its search basis?
That's basically the type of thing that they've been doing. They've been pulling statistical information from government resources, from private resources, from everywhere that they can find it. Any kind of data that's delineated, you know, that's in columns and rows, the kind of stuff you might see in a spreadsheet, they're bringing that kind of information in. And they have anywhere from 150 to 250 people who have been curating it or serving as editors to go through and verify if the information's correct, to make sure that it's all nice and clean. They had an interesting anecdote where they said they brought in a database of lakes from around the world, and when they plotted the latitude and longitudes for the first time, they discovered they had a lot of these lakes were actually positioned within oceans. So this human review of it is also meant to clean up the information that they've got as well.
So for Wolfram Alpha to work correctly, do you have to know precisely how to phrase your request? Because people who run search engines, that's a big thing to overcome. People, the search engine might be able to know what the right answer is. It's just that the people are asking the question the wrong way.
That's it, exactly. And Wolfram has done some things where they are trying to make those kind of guesses, where they'll try to figure out, you know, if you haven't put in the exact word, to go beyond the words that you've put out there. I've seen a couple examples where if you'd phrased the search in a different way, then it got it. So that is an issue that they have. I think the bigger issue that they have facing people who come to them for the first time as opposed to Google is that you'll do some queries and they just don't have answers.
Mm-hmm.
So one query I had done something was like a search for gun deaths in the United States, and they just didn't have an answer, and so it's a blank screen. And I know that on Google I can do that search and get something. I may not get the right answer down the line. I might still have to do a lot of work, but you know, there's sort of a psychological feeling I think you get from your search engine when it says, oh, I can't help you, go away. So I think some people who come from Google who come over here and try to use it for ordinary queries might feel a little disappointed off of that. And hopefully they'll get past that and try and check it out for other kinds of queries where it can come through for them. It is a nice complementary tool to have.
Are the developers of Wolfram Alpha, including Mr. Wolfram himself, are they happy not being able to answer subjective questions? Do they just say, this is not what our search is for? Or do they imagine a day when somehow they could give you some information to tell you who was the greatest actor of all time, for instance?
They seem to be happy not to do the subjective search. In some ways, they, I think, feel like, you know, Google's kind of taking care of that already, or there's other tools that are out there, and that, you know, Stephen Wolfram especially, I think, feels that you've got this structured information that nobody's really compiled, and there's plenty of work to be done there. So, you know, just bringing that sort of stuff out there is a giant accomplishment and task in and of itself.
Give me a little, I mentioned Wolfram himself, give me a thumbnail sketch of who this guy is.
Well, he's a well-known scientist and also entrepreneur. He has written this book, A New Kind of Science, that kind of went through the science area and got a lot of buzz and a lot of attention. I think a little bit of debate that went off through that as well. He's known especially as having built this Mathematica computational software that, if you're a mathematician, I gather it is like an Excel or a Word or an HTML editor to those of us who deal in the Word space. And so he's kind of had these two big, huge hits. And in when you talk with him, he's saying, this is sort of my big third new project, the big of sort of the life things that he's been doing.
And can we go to it now? Will anyone be able to access it? How have they been rolling it out?
You can go to it. It's located at Wolfram, which is Wolfram, and then Alpha, Alpha.com. You've rolled them all together. And you can go to there directly, and all you're getting right now is a screen that says, come back later, sometime in May. What we're expecting is that they're going to bring it up. They're saying right now it's 7 p.m. Central Time, only hours away. They did bring it up a little bit last week, and it quickly went down, and then they turned around and said, well, it won't happen until like the 18th. So we'll see what happens. I want to tell you for certain you'll be able to use it later on today. What I expect will happen is they will bring it up. I think so many people will go over there and start to try using it that will probably crash, and I expect that you're going to see it be up and down for the next few days.
But yes, an insatiable quest for all information about lakes located inside oceans will cause this to crash. Hey, Chris from Miami, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great. So what's your question about Wolfram Alpha?
Well, you kind of touched on it about the subjectivity of opinionated topics. I had a question as to where it draws the line. For example, if you ask it a question, what was the cause of the Great Depression in the late 20s, early 30s, it might give you an answer. But if you say that, ask it maybe, what is the cause of the current financial crisis in the U.S., for example? Obviously, there's all kinds of opinions going back and forth. When does it determine whether to make the best guess, or is it mathematical? Does it have to have a certain quantity of, I guess, factual evidences or opinions to be able to pull that out of, you know, somewhere in cyberspace? So that's my question.
That is a great question. What do you know about that, Danny?
Well, that's the difficulty is, like, what was the cause is more of a subjective question. There could be multiple causes. It's there are facts that are involved with it, but there may not be one specific type of thing. It's not the kind of thing you can typically put into a spreadsheet. So it doesn't really know how to handle that kind of query. In fact, I typed it in, and it literally didn't know what to do.
Mm.
But it did suggest that, you know, I could just look for, say, the Great Depression. And when I do that, it comes back with factual information where it says began 1918, ends 1939. That's already kind of getting me off a bit there, because I didn't really think the Great Depression started in 18. I think it was like 29 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do well on those kind of subjective types of things. But then, if you do a search for GDP, gross domestic product, it can come through and then start telling you what that's like for different countries, for the U.S. It gives you charts where you can look at that over time. And so if you're trying to understand, you know, the causes of depressions and as they relate to the GDP of various countries, you can use the tool in that way to perhaps go through and get the stats and even do things like divide the U.S.'s GDP by France's GDP. They have one example where they let you calculate, like, the gross domestic product of a country by the amount of railway tracks that the country has. So, you know, maybe you'll discover some things in that way that you might not have ever occurred to research for before.
That's cool. I probably would have liked a couple competing theories on the causes of the Great Depression, though.
Oh, sure.
Seems a little more straightforward. One of our Twitter commenters, I guess a tweeter, did note that the promise of this is much better math ability. Is that the case?
Well, that's especially because it comes out of this mathematical background that they have not just taken these facts, but they're trying to make the facts, they say, you know, their tagline is computational knowledge engine, and what they mean is that you can actually take this knowledge and try to compute it and do math-like equations with it. So, you know, like I said, if you wanted to see the gross domestic product of France versus Italy, you don't have to go get the data, put it into a spreadsheet, then start doing the sums to do that. It can calculate that sort of thing for you. I'm just going to try it. I'm doing GDP France / Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I can.
Now that slash, did you know how to do that? Is that a special code or?
Well, this is a challenge. Like, you have to know certain codes to do that. Although the slash symbol is, I think, pretty common for a lot of people who are used to doing
it. Right. So quickly, did it come up with the answer?
It said that, show details, 1.215. And I don't know if that is France
or Italy.
Higher.
Danny Sullivan, editor-in-chief of Search Engine Land at Newport Beach, California. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And when we come back, we'll take you out to the ball game. Stay with us.